Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the pioneering show that really pushes the boundaries of what can be classed as interesting. joining me today, as always, is Robin. How's it going, Robin?
Oh, hello, Alex. It's going well, thank you. That was my favorite introduction to this podcast. Good. That was great. That was so
I'm glad cool. You liked it.
I should mention the exciting news. My sister gave birth the other day.
Her
second daughter. So I'm an uncle for the second time, which is great. And I rushed over to help look after the first child. And although I don't know how parents do it, Martin, there's a secret and I don't know what you do. I'm still suffering the aftershocks of being
try and keep them alive is the main thing, really.
Yeah.
That's the basis of it all, I guess. And anything else above that's a bonus.
Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you seem to be the main thing.
You seem to be doing well, Martin. How are you this week?
I don't have that much exciting news. I mean, you guys have much more exciting news than me, so I'll just say I'm good. But Alex, I know you have some very exciting news as well. A new addition to your family that you want to mention. So
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to bring it up. I didn't want to steal Robin's thunder, obviously. But I'm now the proud parent of a hamster. So that's the same thing as becoming an uncle, isn't it?
It is way more exciting. It is way more exciting. You have taken personal responsibility for this living thing.
Well,
that's great. That's very lovely.
I don't know about that. Well, that's mainly on my other halves.
Yeah, my hamster was in the ball when it rolled down the stairs, like two flights of stairs, and it's fine. So they're quite robust. I've done better with the kid.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's a relief. Just don't put them in a hamster ball. That's
the key.
Lesson number one. Don't put your child in a hamster ball.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we discussing today? Well, I'll tell you. we're going to be talking about some things that we learned this week. As always, you know the drill by now. Some of our favorite YouTube comments. And our main topic this week is going to be this really interesting story that actually Robin has brought to the table. Let's just say it's a case involving murder, possibly, mystery and intrigue and conspiracy. Ooh. Am I allowed to say that? Will YouTube hurt us now?
Oh, we'll find out. Let's test the waters.
They could do, but we let's risk it.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we're too big to fail at this point.
And speaking of conspiracy, if you are interested in any of that, we've just recorded a piece over on our Patreon about Julian Assange, who is currently in an extradition hearing in the UK at the moment. So we've got a little bit of an updated story on that over on our Patreon. So go check that out.
Yeah, I feel like he's been a little bit neglected for a while, hasn't he, in terms of the news?
He's not getting
the attention that he thrives on. So we thought we'd throw some in his way.
Yeah.
He's been after that.
That's what he's really been after, us discussing him. Yeah. And then as always, we'll be ending the podcast with a quiz, which I have brought to the table this week, and you'll be happy to know it is not a current affairs quiz. So just general knowledge, really. Who's in the lead out of you two? I think Martin's.
Martin, I'm definitely bottom of the table. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're dropping behind for a more dramatic victory, Robin, aren't you, in this season?
Well, I mean, I don't pay any attention to these things, but I might have calculated the number of games I need to win and for you two to lose in order for me to take the top spot. And I may or may not need to win this one.
Yeah.
I see.
Much, Sounds like something a human would do.
I've carefully calculated and collaborated all the different options. The algorithm, which I think this week, I don't know if you guys noticed this too, but there are a lot more Robot Robin comments this week than we've seen in probably ever before. It's on either channel.
Bots, right? It's a bot accounts that are just all concerted programs.
It's your friends.
The robot running. Yeah.
It's my friends, a Russian disinformation campaign running bots against you, Robin. I don't know what caused that. Did we comment about it in the last podcast? I genuinely don't remember. But keep them coming in. I love it. Hashtag Team Robot Robin.
I'm on it.
The bottom. Anyway, what have you both learned this week, Martin?
Well, my learning was actually from a few years ago. It dates back to 2006, end of 2006. And actually at an aquarium, in fact, in China. And at this particular aquarium, a couple of dolphins had unfortunately swallowed some plastic, some large pieces of plastic, that the workers there couldn't get out of their systems.
Oh, really?
And so these dolphins were looking pretty unwell, and they were kind of, I don't want to say they were kind of floating along the bottom of the tank, but it was close to that, you know. They weren't doing too good. And whatever they did, they could not get this plastic out of their systems. They tried lots of different implements. They tried it all. And so what do you do when you need help getting something out of a dolphin's system? What do you do? You don't call for a vet. You call for the tallest man in the world at the time.
What?
What?
And I'll tell you why you call for the tallest man in the world. Because the tallest man in the world obviously has some of the longest arms in the world.
Okay. And so some of the longest arms.
Yeah.
Not two.
I mean,
some of the longest arms.
Two of the longest arms, yeah, luckily. And so this man, who's called Bao Shishun, I think he's maybe the third or fourth tallest man in the world now. I think it's a Turkish guy who's actually taller than him. He's almost 8 foot tall. 7 foot. Basically 7 foot 9. And he was 54 at the time. And so what they did is they got him and his very long arms to reach down into these dolphins' stomachs and remove the plastic.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Let's go back a second. Did he just happen to be at the aquarium, or did they fire up a bat signal for him?
They got him in. I imagine he came in. He came in, flown in first class, private jet. I don't know. I don't know how they got him there. But anyway, he's Chinese, and this particular aquarium was also in China. So I don't know why they thought, his arms will just about be long enough. But
I mean, did it work?
That's what they did. It did work. Yeah. And these dolphins that were previously, a bit sad, depressed, and unwell. We're back fine and normal as ever.
That's amazing.
I just don't understand how his arms were the specialist equipment needed and nothing else could replace it.
I mean,
they needed the world's tallest man and his arms.
That's a good point, yes.
I mean, hands as well are amazingly dextile things, aren't they? You're able to do so much, but you wouldn't think that would be better than, say, a piece of equipment that's especially used to get things out of, animals' stomachs.
You think someone would have invented that kind of gear by now? Yeah.
And
maybe it was just too expensive to hire, because ideally you'd want a fiber optic camera, on the tool to be able to see what you're grabbing inside the stomach. But I mean, is this a career? Is it possible for the tallest people in the world to do this as a career? Is this a thing that they, when you need an extra pair of long arms, fly me in first class?
Call them in.
With the state of the oceans in the next few decades, I'm sure this is a demand that more and more people are going to want.
Yeah.
People with long arms to save dolphins from plastic. This was in an aquarium. How did they get loads of plastic in their stomach?
I don't know. It doesn't actually say. It shouldn't have happened, obviously. Maybe they came into the aquarium with the plastic in there. I don't know. Mm. Not sure. Mm. I don't know. It doesn't actually say. Or maybe someone in the crowd threw some plastic into the tank. When someone was feeding, they had a plastic bag and got left in there. I don't know.
I assume everything, don't they? That as well as being, at least once upon a time, the tallest man in the world, he is also now the only man to have put his hand inside a living dolphin's stomach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether they tried for the hours before he arrived to try a 6 foot man's arms inside this office. Because a dolphin, I don't really know. How long is a dolphin? What?
2 meters at most.
2 meters? Yeah.
Not that big, are
they? I didn't think they were that big. So I thought, you know, surely you'd be able to have someone else's hand in the stomach. But apparently not.
Oh,
anyway,
that
yeah.
That must be a very weird sensation.
An old story, but also one that I came across that was just too good to not tell.
That is a strange story, yeah. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. But good on him. Good on him.
Exactly.
Dolphin saver, superhero, basically. World's yes. tallest man.
Yeah.
Lovely. Well, Robin, try and top that.
I don't think I can. I don't think anything I said would top that. I just learned a historical fact, which you two may already know, and some of our listeners or people watching us on YouTube might certainly already know. But, you know, Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt, in the early years BC, famously lover of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony, I learned that she was actually Cleopatra the VII.
Oh.
Yeah, she was not the first Cleopatra or the only Cleopatra. She was number 7. And she was the last of the Ptolemaic dynasty, which is the rulers of Egypt who were descended from the Greeks, or sorry, the Macedonians, I guess, in the wake of Alexander the Great's empire. And she was also the only one of the Ptolemaic rulers of Egypt, sorry, to learn to speak Egyptian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the others just spoke Greek, yeah.
And spoke Greek? Oh.
Yeah. And the administration of ancient Egypt at this time was done in Greek.
I wow. see.
Interesting.
That is a good fact.
It must be, yeah. It must be good to know that, you know, even though like your ancestors were also shared the same name, you're the one that people remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no one really remembers, well, I guess some people do, but Martin Luther King Sr., do they? So Martin Luther King Jr., he's the,
yeah, that's true.
Famous one.
That's true.
Yeah, although I guess Cleopatra's predecessors were actually in yeah. positions of significant power, weren't they?
Presumably.
Yeah. Kind of makes my job difficult as an Alex, doesn't it? You know, having to live yeah. up to Alexander the Great.
Yeah. Oh. You're Alexander the Quite Good.
I'm just fine, aren't I?
Alexander the Just Interesting. That's what you mean.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's going to be remembered for the next 1,000 years. I think by the time he was my age, he'd already conquered most of Persia. So,
yeah, he was 33 when he died, yeah. wasn't he?
But did he have a moderately successful podcast?
Well, that's it. Yeah. And that's what everyone's judging
nowadays.
I don't
think so.
I don't think he could have a podcast. I don't think he'd have the time to do a podcast. So actually, who was the real failure here?
No, he strikes me as more of a vlogger. Yeah, I'm just conquering. Be like on the camera, like pan
in the middle of battle, shot. Yeah, with a selfie stick, just like
yeah. I'll smash that like button. If this gets to 10,000 likes, I'll kill 10,000 prisoners.
Yeah, it'd definitely be one of those. It'd be on one of those, one of those websites. Like you won't believe what number 7 is.
No,
it'd be an image of him with a head in his hand.
You know, genocide jokes are my favorite jokes. I'm glad we made
this. The thing is, Robin, it's been such a long time that you know, it just gradually migrates into being funny.
That's true.
Yeah enough time's passed now, it's okay to joke.
It's not too soon
yeah. No, it takes a thousand years, but we're there.
So one of the things I love, like when comedians, stand-up comedians, make jokes about Abraham Lincoln being murdered in America, and the audience reaction is always ooh, you know, a bit of stifled laughter. And it's like, is it still too soon? Really?
Is that? Yeah.
I mean, he was a great guy, but it's been a while.
Yeah. It's because he's in the public consciousness, isn't it? And that's why Alexander the Great's victims, because they're basically anonymous. No one cares. Whereas if you told their specific stories, then people would start to give a shit.
But that is true. Yeah, if you put a face to the victim, then yeah. Sorry, this became a dissection of humor. Sorry, this is not what I was intending.
Let's break down a joke.
No, I like this. I like this analysis of why Alexander the Great wasn't actually great. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. We're doing you a service. Yeah.
Thank you.
What did you learn this week, Alex?
Well, I mean, yeah, nothing as exciting as that. I learned an unorthodox way to keep things refrigerated. Or not to keep things refrigerated, but to keep things from going off.
Okay.
And this was a technique used in Russia and Finland to stop their milk going off and to keep it fresh.
Okay.
So if you're ever stuck in trouble and don't have a fridge and your milk's going off, just whack a frog in it.
What?
A frog?
Just put a brown frog in it. This is what they used to do.
Quick question. How did they fit it through the neck of the milk bottle?
Yeah. Okay. They put it in there when they're a tadpole and just leave it in there.
That's gross. So is it a dead frog that they're putting in there?
Nope, a living frog. Put it in there. Okay. And the reason they did this is because it turns out that amphibian skin, the secretions that are made by the skin, they have peptides, antimicrobial compounds as potent against salmonella and staphylococcus, I don't know, bacteria. It's as strong as prescription antibiotics. So it basically it stops it from the bacteria from developing and keeps the milk fresh. But you do have a frog in your milk, so I mean, swings and roundabouts, really.
Weirdly, I don't know why, but if they said, oh, we've put chemicals in your milk, antibiotics in your milk, I'd be like, oh, okay. When they say, we've put a frog in your milk, I'm like, no, not having
well,
that.
Well, a frog's going to just shit all in your milk, isn't it?
I mean, that's true, yeah. Yeah.
That is the issue, I guess.
You know? That's the downside to it. I mean, how long do you have to keep it in there for?
Yeah.
These are the real questions, Rob. Alex, these are the questions we need to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a frog next week. I'm going to put it in the milk, and I need to know how long that milk's going to last.
Also, how long do you need to keep the frog in there? Because, yeah, the frogs are amphibian by their very nature. They don't spend all their time in the liquid.
It's not going to want to be in there long.
Yeah, it's going to hop out. Yeah.
Here's what I would suggest. Get a pond, fill the pond up with milk, and then he can come and go as he pleases.
Well, no, because then you're just going to get dead birds and things in it. All kinds of animals coming up and lapping it up on the like bloody cat fur in there, things like that.
Yeah. I'll be honest, Robin, I haven't really thought this through.
This is an amazing fact, and I also want to know when was this? Who figured this out? This is one of those crazy things. It's like, who was the first person to figure this out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, is this a case where they were trying to find ways of stopping milk from going off and someone was like, just chuck a frog in it? Or was this a case where a frog happened to be in the milk and then they noticed that it wasn't going off?
It must be that, yeah.
It must be that. But that means that there was a frog in milk and someone still tried it. So,
Yeah. It does make you wonder. Yeah.
I'm not sure when this actually was, but this was a... Yeah. Apparently people in Russia and Finland did this technique. They could have just gone outside. It would have been cold. Surely it was only cold enough.
It's only that specific type of frog, right? You don't want to be putting, you know, like the rainforest green tree venomous frogs in your milk because that's not a good...
You do not want to be doing that, thing. No.
Yeah, this was specifically a brown frog. So anything as colourful... Get out of there.
The species is called the brown frog, not just a brown frog.
I think the species is the Russian brown frog.
Okay.
But that's exciting, though. I mean, as in a world where we're constantly battling against evolving bacteria and trying to develop antibiotics that will be able to fight the superbugs, when any kind of natural organic solution derived from plants or animals, obviously... humanely is great to know.
I'm not putting frogs in my milk.
Yeah, but you could farm the secretions from the frogs.
Yeah, just
right?
Squeeze
the
frog.
A frog farm, and frog farm. Some kind of like keep the
milk. Just milk your frogs, and then put the frog milk in the milk.
If their secretions are runny enough, you just kind of give them a wash every day, and then the water runs into a container, and you're like, aha, here's your diluted frog secretion antibiotic.
This feels like a solution that a robot would come up with.
SMA? You know, the powdered milk? The new Russian SMA with frog extract.
Ground frog.
Mm. Oh my gosh. Mm. Wow.
Tasty.
There you go. I mean, we're solving the world's problems here on this podcast. So, frogs in the milk. the answer. Well, thank you guys. That was enlightening. learning what we've been Googling this week is always a pleasure. Did you want to go through some of our favourite comments of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so my one's from Taki Yazir, and this is in relation to us discussing the preferred methods of execution. And so he says, my preference is beheading, hanging, and firing squad. Full stop.
All three. Okay.
I love it. It's just so to the point. It's so to the point.
That's an order of preference.
No justifications, which makes it so good. Just, yeah, fair enough.
Beheading, hanging, firing squad.
Done. Yeah, so it's almost Alan Partridge-like. I love it.
It's good.
It needs to be more specific. What kind of beheading, though? Like, are we talking
guillotine?
You know, that could be anything. You know, someone with a rusty axe or sword or a guillotine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
if I had to choose, I'd probably say guillotine out of any kind of beheading. But,
Was it Anne Boleyn who was beheaded with a scythe or a sword instead of an axe?
I think it was her.
Yeah, probably a sword.
She asked for a French sword.
For a sword, so it'd be quicker and less painful.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Fair enough indeed.
But we did ask at the end of last week's podcast what you thought about execution methods, so please keep those comments going.
your preferred method of execution.
How would you like to be killed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did you give your answers to that? What was your preference? I don't think we did.
No,
I'm not sure we did. I mean, in fact, I can't even properly remember actually mentioning it.
It was like an afterthought at the end of the podcast. So I think we could probably do a whole podcast about that, actually, about execution methods around the world and how they differ.
That was it. It was in relation to the fact that France, their last execution was in like 1977, after Star Wars came out. Yeah,
that was right. Yeah. That was Alex's fact. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Well, on the kind of mutilation theme, I've got a comment from last week's podcast from David Martins. We just brought up casually castration in the last couple of episodes. And David Martins says...
It has come up.
Yeah, I mean, that's to be rephrased. Yes, it has come up.
Just come up organically.
Just come up. Castration has come up. Ha ha. And David Martins says, hey guys, my party trick is an actual castration. In reference
I mean, these comments are quite something this week, aren't they?
They are. That was in reference to the fact that Alex or Martin said it was a good party trick that I could bring up facts about castration. So thanks, David Martins. If it's a party trick, it has to be an established thing that you do at multiple parties. So I'm sorry for your victims. Or do you have a reattachable penis? Let me know in the comments of this video.
Well, we're really asking for some weird comments this week. I love it. So I've got a comment from Ita Dakimasu, who says, and if the hamster escapes, I think this is referring to my new hamster, you can yell... Where are you? Lesby Avenue! Which is, of course, a reference to Martin's preferred buzzer, which I liked because it's, it's getting some attention.
I feel like it's being potentially underappreciated. It's had one or two comments.
Yeah. One of my favourite buzzers, yeah.
It is obscure, though. It is obscure.
They go on to say, this was a great episode. I like escape episodes that don't get too... escape episodes? Other podcast episodes, maybe? That don't get too political or eunuchish. So, there you go. Well, You've ruined this one, Robin.
Castration again. There we go.
And there's one last comment from DJRF, and she says, and here it is, the main thing that I'm looking forward to on Sundays. Been here regularly ever since the first ATC podcasts way back in the day, and not planning on leaving. Great, wholesome episode as usual. That's really kind.
Thank you. Well, shall we get into the meat of our podcast, which is our main topic?
It is indeed. And this is a really interesting story that I don't think is being reported on much, mainly because this story has been uncovered recently, and covered and uncovered by the Financial Times.
I'm not sure you're allowed to use that word, Robin.
UK-based. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're going to get sued.
This case has been... shall not be named.
Yes, indeed. And on the 2nd of September 2020, the Financial Times reported that the FBI is investigating the deaths of two former mining executives who British prosecutors saw as potential witnesses in one of the UK's biggest corruption probes. So a bit more detail about this. In May 2015, so this is going back 5 years, two men called James Bethel, who was 44, and Gerrit Stridum, or Stridum, not sure how you say his name, 45, were found dead at a motel in Springfield, Missouri, when the two were on a road trip across the USA. At the time, Springfield police announced that the cause of death was cerebral malaria, citing tests carried out by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which is the national agency that deals with rare diseases and potential outbreaks. So they've been quite busy this year. And obviously because these people were from, they weren't US citizens, and they seemed to have died from malaria based on the autopsy results, they were referred to the CDC, who confirmed that they had died of malaria. But for reasons that still have yet to be revealed, 5 years later, the Springfield police never actually closed the investigation. And then in May 2020, this year, a Springfield police spokesperson referred any further inquiries to the FBI, stating that they've taken over investigation of the case. And FBI agents have already started investigating by that point and have taken away personal possessions of the two two men, the two dead men. I won't say victims, because that's kind of the point of this story. And then in the new book that was published just a week ago by the Financial Times investigations correspondent Tom Burgess, and the book's called Kleptopia, How Dirty Money is Conquering the World. According to this book, autopsy reports and the CDC records show that the chances the two men did die of malaria are almost zero.
Oh. Yeah, it's such a great case. I mean, not for them, obviously, but this is it's really fascinating.
It is. So it seems like there could be foul play in the air, right?
It sounds definitely like it.
Really does. And so these two men who were found dead in Springfield, James Bethel and Gerrit Stridum, they held senior positions in the African division of the Eurasian Natural Resources Corporation, which was a mining group that is the subject of a bribery and fraud investigation here in the UK. So the Serious Fraud Office are investigating him over this fraud. So again, it adds up to the potential that there could be foul play involved. So this investigation began in 2014, so some, you know, 6-7 years ago, and 1 year before Bethel and Stridum were found dead in this motel. So the Eurasian Natural Resources Corporation, or ENRC, was founded by three Central Asian oligarchs who took control of the valuable mines in Kazakhstan, so in the old Soviet Union, during the mass privatizations that occurred following the collapse of the Soviet Union. So as we see with a lot of the oil oligarchs as well, they snapped up on the cheap a lot of this these natural resources, and as a result became billionaires basically over the next couple of years, as the prices then boomed and they had all these natural resources which they could sell abroad. So the ENRC, they floated on the London Stock Exchange in 2007 and also joined the FTSE 100, which is the list of the top 100 most valuable blue chip companies in the UK. And it was worth, at its peak, almost £20 billion. So what's that? Probably about
$40 million.
I was going to say billion. I was going to say probably $19 billion the way things are going. Close to $30 billion probably.
Yeah.
And so after they listed on the FTSE, they bought mines in the Congo, in Zimbabwe, and elsewhere in Africa. So they made all these massive acquisitions, and of course with this came these allegations of bribery. So the Serious Fraud Office in the UK launched a criminal corruption investigation in April 2013 regarding, in particular, the Congo acquisitions. And in November 2013, the oligarchs behind the company, a man called Alexander Meshkovich, Pakto Chadiev, and Alahan Ibrahimov, they took it private again. So they took the company private, taking it off the UK FTSE 100. And move their base from the UK to Luxembourg.
Nothing suspicious about that.
Exactly. I mean, that is it's a telltale sign. So this, of course, this being valued at $20 billion, it's a huge expense to be able to do this. And so it's not exactly known exactly how this was done. So James Bethel and Gerrit Stridum, they were South African citizens, and they had plenty of experience in the mining industry over the years. and was some of the most senior ENRC officials running its African organization. And so in 2015, they decided to leave the company, and at the time, the SFO, the Serious Fraud Office, investigators were keen to learn what they knew about this, you know, taking this company off the FTSE 100 and taking it private. And so they got in contact with Bethel to ask him what the hell was going on. So after these guys left the ENRC, they went on holiday across the US, went backpacking, probably to get away from it all, you know, with the FBI and fraud investigation knocking. You know, it's the kind of thing you'd want to do. So they began to feel unwell during their flight from Johannesburg, where they're both from, via Amsterdam to Chicago. But, you know, they thought not too much of it because they thought, oh, maybe they could have been something they ate, or perhaps on the flight they just felt unwell. And so they decided to take their journey along Route 66 on Harley Davidsons. It's all sounding very stereotypical Americana, isn't it? and then on the 9th of May 2015, they stopped off at this inn, this motel called La Quinta Inn in Springfield. And the next morning, staff who were working at this motel opened the doors to their rooms and found that both of the men were dead, with no sign of what had killed them. So there wasn't any struggle, there weren't any wounds or injuries, and so it was, you know, very much a mystery until the autopsy was done to know exactly what had happened. So a local medical examiner came along and took samples for the toxicologist, and but the tests only received like partial results. So what they did is they sent off the blood results and tissue samples, which then detected that both men had caught malaria. And so it seemed that at the time the pair might have become infected with this malaria, perhaps on a fishing trip that they'd both taken in Zambia, and that they had contracted malaria and then died as a result of this malaria. But let's be real for a second. How likely is it that both men caught malaria on the same day and then died on the same night after feeling unwell from it? Like, the chances of that happening are so unlikely, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you would be right to be skeptical about that, for sure.
Just because everyone's body reacts differently to these things. Like, it's not like a set time period of, oh, now you die. Even we've seen that with COVID, haven't we? Like, people react so differently. It just seems absurd that this could be the case.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of them, you would think that before it got to this point, they would seek help. They wouldn't be riding Harley Davidson's to this motel. I mean, clearly they felt not too bad to be able to do that by the time they got to the hotel, and then overnight they both just died from malaria. And you know, you would be right to be skeptical of this, as were their former colleagues. And 5 years after this, in 2020, a malaria expert called Sam Vosmer at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine said that because of the multitude of factors that determine the speed at which the disease develops over many days, the likelihood of two separate people developing the disease at the exact same time and dying the same night is almost certainly nil. So this is basically impossible that this could have happened. The only remotely possible chance that this could have happened is if both men were bitten by the exact same mosquito, because then I guess there's more of a chance that they would react in the same way.
But
even that seems tenuous, right?
The CDC's genetic analysis of the samples it received ruled that option out completely, so it was impossible basically for this to happen. So it's mad, isn't it? So what investigators at the SFO said or feared was that the samples that they originally got that said that they had malaria might not have been reliable. It might have just been an easy ruling to detect that they both had malaria and died of it. But yeah, I mean, maybe this was inaccurate for whatever reason. And neither the local medical examiner nor a private coroner sent to the autopsy by ENRC could say whether any chain of custody procedure designed to safeguard evidence had been followed. So there was no kind of records that showed that standard procedures were followed in this case, which is a bit shocking, isn't it? That there's no records of that.
It's also weird that there was a coroner sent by ENRC to look at the dead. The dead ex-employees as true. Well. Yeah, like
that's this. A bit of a... Is that a normal thing for companies to do? Is that... Doesn't sound it, does it?
Your healthcare plan is so good.
We'll send a coroner. Yeah. And yeah, the FBI have begun investigating these deaths as of May 2020. And interestingly, the CDC didn't respond to questions from the FT who launched the story, released the story. The FBI hasn't commented on it. And so did the SFO. They declined to comment on it as well. But the ENRC denies any wrongdoing. In 2019, they sued the SFO for £70 million, accusing it of creating a scandal by launching this corruption investigation in league with some former lawyers at the company. Kazakh dissident and private investigators. Yeah, so everyone accused by the ENRC denies these allegations. But, I mean, smoke without fire, you know? There's so much going on here. And then one last update. In January 2020, Anna Makovich, the daughter of one of ENRC's oligarch co-founders, Alexander Makovich, was convicted of failing to supply documents requested by the Serious Fraud Office. She's not a suspect, but she'd been asked to hand over records, including diaries held on behalf of her father. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it seems like there was potentially something in those diaries which would give a little bit of the game away, possibly. And so
that's the implication. But yeah, no, this story is just so mad. And it's right. Like, there's definitely like something going on behind the scenes here, and dark money is...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy this death, like, by malaria one bit. But also, like, they must have been good friends as well as colleagues to go on an American road trip together and just quit at the same time. It was almost like they were eloping, really. Where were they going?
Yeah.
I wonder what their plan was, so if they were just genuinely going on holiday.
It's kind of sad that they died that way, you know. Obviously, yeah. Sad that they died anyway, but it's sad that they... seem to have been having just a fun time. That was the plan, at least. And then brought to a suspicious early end, if not just an early end. Do you think it's likely that the ENRC's claims that all these agencies and former lawyers and private investigators have colluded to create a fake scandal around these deaths? Or do you think that... a 7-year investigation is likely to have something behind it?
That feels like a bit of a loaded question. You're kind of making me say that. obviously. That is exactly what you would say, isn't it? especially when there's so much evidence against you, I think. Everyone's colluding and it's all just fake news.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that stands out to me is the fact that the mishandling of the samples, right? So they found malaria, which could have quite possibly been there. These guys have worked out in various African countries, and so they probably did both have sample malaria. Probably was found, but for the ENRC to have actually killed them, say via a certain substance, which could be detected in blood, they would have probably been relying on these samples not to be kept properly, for them not to, for the trail to have not led back to them, and that seems like a pretty risky strategy.
That's the thing, yeah. You've got to think about how many people would need to be involved in this.
Yes,
because the coroner. I mean, the coroner was sent by ENRC.
Yeah.
Yes, but the samples before that weren't taken by the ENRC, were they?
Yeah, they were the local.
They were local, so they would have had to have colluded with local medical experts in order for this to happen. I mean, there are certain ways of making sure that trail doesn't get back to you, but at the same time, it just seems like a risky strategy to have, say, poison someone and then and then to try and cover it. So yeah, it seems like if they did kill these two, a lot of planning must have gone into it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
It seems like a very extreme thing to do. Like assuming that. So this was like a double assassination, if that's what we're.
I mean, yeah,
suspecting
we're saying,
them off.
Definitely allegedly here, Alex, because they are suing the SFO for £70 million.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to get added to that, that lawsuit. But I mean, yeah, you would think like just paying them off would be easier. So, but like, yeah,
maybe they couldn't these be employees. Paid off.
Maybe they couldn't be, yeah. I mean, maybe that's part of the reason why they left the company. But, I mean, they must have known some truly awful things for it to have come to this.
Yeah, and specifically in Africa, which is where the corruption investigation was focused on their acquisition of all these other mines in Africa. And there's an irony to this that we haven't mentioned, which is that, in order, as Martin said, when they went private again and took themselves off the London Stock Exchange, simultaneously they were on the Kazakhstani Stock Exchange and they took themselves off that. But because the company was valued so high, they obviously had to pay a lot of money to privatize again. And the way they did that was they took out huge loans because obviously it was an emergency thing. They did merely months after the investigation started. So it was a quick kind of like, let's grab some loans and let's privatize. And then in subsequent years, since then, in order to pay off the loans, they've had to sell off their international acquisitions, including the mines they bought in Africa that are subject the heart of this investigation for corruption.
I see.
I mean, I find that interesting from two perspectives, because on the first, it's kind of just ironic that they're being investigated for buying these mines in Africa, which they then sold off in order to cover the loans they took in order to take themselves away from the investigation. And then secondly, it's kind of like if you're under investigation for bribery and corruption when buying certain assets, and the first thing you do is sell off the assets you've been accused of acquiring illegally. I mean, that's a little suspicious.
It is, but it doesn't matter if you've burned that trail, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Worth it. If they know they're going to be, indicted anyway, you know, it's nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, I mean, but this is the thing, like, what do you think can happen at this point? Because we mentioned them by name, these three Kazakhstani oligarchs who own this company. I've owned it since the beginning in the early 1990s and still own it now. And they, each one of them is worth $2 or $3 billion. And they're based in, the company's based in Luxembourg, but they're based in Kazakhstan or wherever they want to yacht to in the world. Do you really think those three men can be held accountable for the suspicious but perhaps natural deaths of two former employees who were in subjects of interest in and fraud and corruption case? Which they have also removed themselves from by relocating from UK to Luxembourg. It makes it very hard for the SFO to do their job because the company is now based in a different country. What do you think? Do you think the chances are high that anything will happen?
I wouldn't say they're high. No. I think they're probably outside the jurisdiction of most countries now. I don't think that they're going to be held accountable. I think if things are looking bad for them, they can always just find somewhere that won't extradite them and live out the rest of their life in pure comfort and luxury.
I mean, there's two parts of this, aren't there? There's of course the suspicious events surrounding the deaths of these two men, but then there's also the fraud charges as well from the SFO. And so you think about the FBI getting involved and the investigation lasting 7 years, you'd imagine that the FBI wouldn't have taken this on and wouldn't be still conducting this investigation if there wasn't sufficient evidence of at least one of these two things. And my guess is that the FBI probably cares more about the fraud charges than they do about the deaths of these two men, even though you know that shouldn't be the case. And I'd imagine that their focus in terms of what would constitute the lengthier jail time would probably be the fraud, weirdly. because they can, you know, they can add up different accounts of fraud, can't they, and add it onto a huge sentence. It's going to be very difficult without that knowledge of what the blood samples contained to prove that that these men were directly responsible, or that the ENRC was responsible for these deaths. I very much doubt that that's ever going to happen. Whether they go down on lesser charges of fraud or not, yeah, it could happen. I mean, money talks. They're billionaires. They'll hire the best defense team possible. But yeah, I mean, it could happen. Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I think if they end up serving any time, it will be like they're sentenced to 20 years and it's talked down to like 2 years in a luxury camp or something. But I think you're right, Martin. I think there's very little chance that these two men that were allegedly, you know, assassinated, they would ever be able to prove that. You know, they've proved that it couldn't have been malaria that killed both of them. But I don't think they could prove now, this late after the fact, what did kill them. But yeah, you're right. There's always a paper trail, or with money transfers. That's how they got Al Capone.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's how they got him in the end.
The lesser charges, yeah. I mean, the fact is, all we know from the only evidence we really have from our side of things, the FBI probably have more, is that these men were involved in some potentially dodgy dealings. They felt unwell, and then they were found dead. We don't know anything else. Because the toxicology seems to be so dodgy, we don't know if they had taken, I don't know, some party drug that night, or if perhaps there was a carbon monoxide leak, or you'd imagine that the hotel would inform the investigators if that was the case, right? But maybe then they could have potentially fixed that and covered it up. You don't know, right? Yeah. We do not know. Although the circumstances surrounding it are suspicious, there isn't a definitive answer as to what happened to those men, I don't think. And I don't think there will be, unless the FBI knows something that isn't being made public, which is very possible. Yeah. But we wouldn't know about that.
I wonder what their, like, personal situation was, like, their mental situation. Because they had this... They were obviously at the center of this massive investigation, and they were wanted to find out, you know, what they knew. Then they go on holiday together, rent Harley Davidsons, and share a hotel room together. Is it possible that they could have, you know, committed suicide together in like some kind of take the secrets to their grave kind of way? Maybe they were trying to protect the families or something.
Right.
I've gone a bit too Hollywood there.
Would you book a holiday and then do it like fairly soon after landing?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's a bit weird. But this whole story's odd.
It's just bizarre. I mean, what I find particularly intriguing about it is that, and maybe this is where all these investigations are coming from, where the FBI has got involved, is because this company is currently owned by the finance ministry in Kazakhstan. The three billionaire oligarchs who own it are all Kazakhstani citizens. Former Soviet Union. All these oligarchs we know in the former Soviet Union are still fairly close together, or at least the perception is they're fairly closely connected. And it's not like it's out of character for mysterious poisonings using radioactive substances or diseases. Is something that former Soviet Union territories do, you know. So it's for me, it's tempting to make that connection and see, maybe the FBI is thinking the same thing, and like, it fits the MO. It might have been malaria that killed them, but they might have been injected with it.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Although it's weird they died at the same time. I mean, that's just very strange. And I'm more inclined to think there's something dodgy going on with the evidence and the tissues that they analyzed. And like you say, both of you, it's been so long that we'll just never know what happened, I don't think. Although, just to kind of lighten the tone a little bit with some black humor, it got me thinking. Imagine you're a billionaire. You own a multinational corporation. You know there's some dodgy dealings, and you might be directly involved in some of those dodgy financial dealings. There's a problem. Those dodgy dealings might be uncovered by, or exposed by, some official investigations in another country. You think to yourself, how can I get hold of a hitman? How does that happen? How do you do? Is there like an index? Is there like a yellow pages for Hitman?
I mean, you've got three main options. I don't know. I mean, there's the dark web, I guess, or maybe if you know someone who's on the private militia side of things, which I imagine.
You might be
connected enough to.
It's all about knowing someone who might know
have some
someone.
Contacts.
If you're just like super rich and you have a butler, maybe if they're a really good butler, you know, just be like, can you just sort this for me, please?
That's the thing.
Butler / hitman. It's in your job description. Read the small print. Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine a nondescript asking one of your maybe security to get it sorted, right, not saying what, and then they tell someone who tells someone who knows someone who gets it done.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I just wanted you to bribe them. What? You should have been more specific.
Yeah, and then the news comes back and you're just like, you killed them? That's too much. How did you kill them? That you injected them with...
Oh, I'm annoyed now.
I mean, that's kind of cool, I guess, but like, could have been clean.
Imaginative. I'll give him points for imagination.
A clean kill. Something like the Hitman game. Yeah, extra points for clean kills. Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to know. Honestly, I don't think we're ever going to know.
It's worth keeping tabs on. And I credit the Financial Times for continuing to report on this because they seem to be the only people who are.
Yeah, it's a fantastic bit of journalism, this as well.
Risky as well for them.
Yeah.
Not only financially because of people with lawsuits flying around, but also in terms of, they wouldn't be the first people to be targeted, first journalists to be targeted. There have been others, of course.
Yeah.
If that was the case, but yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you for bringing that story, Robin. That was incredibly fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Just a reminder that this kind of thing is going on in the world today.
Yeah.
But on a lighter note, would you like a quiz?
Absolutely, yes. That sounds good.
Welcome, gentlemen, to this week's quiz. I am your host, Alex, Casey. who's winning at the moment? I think Martin's winning, aren't you?
Martin's winning.
Yeah,
just about.
Yeah.
Well, you know, is this going to be the day, Robin, where you access your infinite knowledge and connection to Google? And you just download the answers to your brain. Or
it's possible that the most embarrassing thing about this running joke about me being a robot is that I'm still losing the quizzes.
It's a ploy.
It makes my defeat even more embarrassing.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
It's to show people you're not really a robot. It's not fooling anyone, but it's a nice try.
It's because you two are genuinely much better than me at quizzes. This is why.
Well, we had to quit last season because you were too far ahead. So thank you for scaling it back a little bit.
Yeah, we didn't approach this whole podcast with like seasons in mind, but we had to in the end because it was getting a bit ridiculous.
It was a bit unfortunate, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, you broke it, Robert. You broke the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Well done. Are you happy with yourself?
No.
we're back on track. It's close though, isn't it, between us all?
I think there's only one in it. You can bring it back, Robin, for sure. Okay. Well, let's hear your buzzers then. Martin, what have you got for us this week?
I've gone with my classic, Delia shouting at Norwich City.
Where are you?
Lesby Avenue! Nice. Very nice. Fantastic. And Robin, what have you got for us?
In honour of you failing to name your hamster after this person.
Here that wants to make contact. Anyone is in these woods... show yourselves.
I should have expected that one. Fair enough. It's been a while, although, in fairness.
It has been a while. I've been kind to you, Alex, and now you have to bring out the big
guns. Although your hamster, Alex, your hamster is called Dick Cheddar Turpin, right?
Dick Cheddar Turpin.
Dick Cheese.
Yes. But no, I wasn't going for that. I was not going for that.
You totally were.
I'm deducting a point.
I genuinely wasn't. But okay, yeah, we'll go with that. Fine. Yeah. Tone's been brought down.
Yeah.
Let's carry on. I think my mum listens to these podcasts, so sorry, mum.
Well, as always, this week's quiz is 10 questions. It's just general knowledge, plus a bonus question if we need it. And I suspect we'll do it anyway, because we always do. That's how fun we have. Really?
We love our quizzes.
That's how fun we have.
That's how much fun we have.
Is this a grammar quiz, Alex? There's no grammar in this, is there?
It's fine. That's fine. Question number one.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Face the Music is in the title of the third film in which movie franchise?
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Unfortunately, I think that was, I heard myself first. Go on then, Robin.
I am genuinely so excited. Screw Christopher Nolan's Tenet. Screw James Bond. This is like the best movie of the year. I'm so excited. Bill and Ted.
It is Bill and Ted. Yes. Yeah. Are you not worried about it though? Do you think it's going to be hold up to expectations?
Oh yeah. There's that trepidation of it's been 30 years. How can it possibly be good enough? But I feel like it might be.
The thing is, a lot of remakes after this amount of time, they fall down because the people are older and maybe the performances aren't as good. Whereas you look at the old Bill and Ted films, and it was never about them being good films necessarily. It wasn't about the performances being great. It was about that charm, wasn't it? It was about that quirky comedy and the charm, which even if the film isn't great as a spectacle, I imagine they'd have to do something considerably wrong for it to be devoid of charm with those two guys.
I think that's it. Like, they're not offensive films. They're not particularly topical films. They are just timeless, airhead, gloriously stupid comedies. And as long as they can capture that, they're okay.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, he's hoping that it lives up to expectations.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Question number two, 1-0 to Robin. The ulna and radius are bones in which part of the body? Martin.
They're in the arm.
They are in the arm, yes. Oh. Which part of the arm?
The forearm.
Okay, yeah, fine, fair enough.
Damn it.
That is correct. Robin obviously didn't know that because he doesn't have bones. He just has machinery
just
parts.
Pistons, yeah, going back and forth.
Sorry, I feel like I'm really, really laying into the whole Robot Robin thing. I was excited by the amount of comments.
I'm using your voice as my buzzer, it's okay.
Okay.
It's a trade-off.
That is 1-1. Question number three. Where is someone who is Bayesian from?
Sorry?
Where is someone who is Bayesian from? Bayesian.
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 Bayesian. Where are they from?
Sorry. What's that word?
It's Bayesian. B-A-J-A-N. Bayesian.
B-A-J-A-N.
That is correct. If someone is Bayesian, where are they from?
Did anyone die here? Is Dick Turpin here?
No, Dick Turpin is not here. Robin, what's your answer?
Are they from Baja?
It is not Baja.
Darn it.
Bayesian.
Baja. Where's Baja?
I don't know. Tropics? Caribbean?
Could they...
Bayesian.
Where are you? Beijing. Are they from Beijing?
It is not Beijing. Good guess, though. Good guess.
Few, because that would be annoying.
Is it a country? Is it a country, a whole country?
It is, yes.
Okay. Is that a good clue? Were you happy with that one, Robin?
No.
Who's that?
So I give you a clue, then?
Yes.
I think. I mean, I'm not sure if it was actually a real play. I've never heard of it before, but I think you're thinking, Robin, with your first answer, was along the right lines.
Oh. Okay.
You've never heard of it before?
Baja. Where's Baja?
Oh, right. You've not heard of Baja. Right. But you've heard of the place that these people come from.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, right. That'd be a weird question.
It's not the Bahamas.
It's not the Bahamas, no. Again, though,
because it sounds like
the right lines.
Yeah, because it sounds like Cajun. That's like New Orleans, isn't it? So that's like French Creole.
Go on. I'll give you each one more guess. Or Robin, you need one more guess. Is it one more guess each now?
I think Robin's got one less than me.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of Caribbean islands.
Yeah.
It's not Jamaica. What other Caribbean islands are there?
Oh, you're going to kick yourself.
Let's go for another clue. I don't have another guess.
So it does begin with B. You're on the right lines there.
Oh.
In these woods. Show yourself.
Robin.
Boudica? Oh. Boudica? That's not my guess. Boudica, that's not my guess. Barbados?
It is Barbados.
Oh, yeah, cool.
If you're Bayesian, you're from Barbados.
From Barbados. Cool. Nice. Didn't know that. Bayesian. Yeah. Okay.
I've never heard that before. So... You're not called Barbadian or Barbadian. You're called Bayan.
You are. You are indeed.
Oh, that's good to know.
Cool.
Okay. Question number 4. I think that's 2-1 to Robin.
It's tight.
Mm-hmm. Where is St. Edmund buried?
Oh.
Martin.
I thought the question was something else.
Where is St. Edmund buried?
I'll have a guess, though. Is there let's go for... Westminster Abbey.
It's not Westminster Abbey.
Anyone here that wants to make contact?
Yes, Robin.
If anyone...
I'm going to say this because I feel like this is the answer you want, but this might be a QI answer. Is it Bury St. Edmunds?
It is Bury St. Edmunds.
No. It makes sense.
Oh, sorry, Martin. It was not a trick question. Yeah, apparently.
No, okay. Straight up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where is Bury St. Edmunds, actually?
Is it in Norfolk? In Norfolk?
Yeah.
It's right? a town.
Because he was in East... Wasn't he in East Anglian?
In Suffolk. Town in Suffolk.
Suffolk. Okay.
There you go. Okay. Oh, this one's a bit of a tough one. Well, I thought this was a tough one. Okay. So that is... What's that now? 3-1 to Robin?
3-1, yeah.
Yep. Question number 5. What do JFK, John Lennon, Marco Polo, and Batman all have in common?
Well, that's a really...
I'm going to settle in for this one.
This is JFK and John Lennon have a very clear link, don't they? Which is probably not going to be right.
Is in these woods. Show yourselves.
I'm pretty sure this is incorrect, but have they all slept with Marilyn Monroe?
That's a good guess, but no, that is not the case.
Marco Polo, that's throwing me a little bit. Well, I guess Batman too. John Lennon, yeah. Marco Polo.
So I give you a clue.
Yeah.
So Batman is not actually referring to the character Batman.
Okay.
What? Not referring
Did
to
anyone die here?
Batman's not referring to Batman.
Is Dick Turpin here?
Yes, Robin.
This is really stupid. Are they all airports?
They are all airports, yeah.
Yes, because Turkey, is it Batman in Turkey?
There's a city in Turkey called Batman, and there's Batman Airport.
That's so good.
In Batman. And then you've got JFK in New York. John Lennon, I think, is in Liverpool.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
And then where's Marco Polo?
Marco Polo is the Venice.
Venice.
Yeah, I'm guessing because of the Silk Road connection. That was Marco Polo, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was involved in that.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah.
Explorer
to
went
Venice.
To Asia, yeah. There was a Netflix series about him, which I didn't watch.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. It was okay. It might have gone better, I don't know.
That would do. Okay's all right.
Yeah. Okay, so question number 6. It's 4-1 to Robin Martin.
He can come back. It's definitely doable. Yeah.
You can do it. Okay. So with this question, you may want to wait until you hear the whole question. Okay. No. Can you name all of the new US states? So all the US states with new in the title and...
Oh.
What I'm doing with this one is I'm not going to tell you how many there are, and you have to guess them all to get the point. And you're allowed one extra guess. You can't have you can't have too many guesses.
So you have to get them all.
You have to get them all to get the point.
And you're allowed one extra guess. So if say if there's six of them and you guess seven, I'll give it to you. But if you guess like 10, you're not having the point. You can't take the Mickey, basically.
Okay. Is Dick Turpin in these woods?
Okay.
Show yourself.
Robin, I think you were there first.
I'm making a huge mistake because I'm going to get this wrong, and then Martin's got a great opportunity to get this. But okay. New York.
Yeah.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
New England.
No.
And I think that's it.
Is that your guess?
I don't know. Yes, that's my guess.
That is incorrect.
Is it New York, New Jersey, New Hampshire, New Mexico? And I can't think of any more now.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, it's going to have to be. I can't think of any more.
That is spot on, Martin. Oh, you bloody crushed it. You nailed it.
Is New England not a place then?
No, it's a set of states, isn't it? Up in the northeast.
Is it? Right. Yeah. And New Hampshire is one of them.
I think so. I might be wrong.
But I completely forgot about New Mexico, so well done. Well done.
Well done. Yeah. Well done, Martin.
Thanks.
So that is 4-2. 4-2 now.
Yep.
Yeah, as we go on to question 7. What did a Bedouin shepherd find in the Qumran caves in Palestine?
Is there anyone here that wants to make contact?
Yes,
if Robin.
The Dead Sea Scrolls?
It is the Dead Sea Scrolls.
I didn't even hear what was the question?
Sorry, I heard Bedouin shepherd and caves.
Oh, sorry. You didn't hear the question. Yeah. Oh, that feels unfair.
Sorry, Martin.
No, you would have got it quicker than I would have.
Sorry. I didn't realize you hadn't heard.
I feel gutted for you.
We could do that again. We could do a different question. We could swap it with a bonus question if you like.
No, it's all good. That's all good.
If it gets close, then we might have words.
No.
I feel bad now. I feel like I stole that.
But we heard the same thing and you actually heard it.
Quite frankly, you should feel bad, Robin.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you.
Okay. That's 5-2. Question number 8. You can still bring it back, Martin. You can still bring
There's a chance.
Question number 8. Apple stopped making new iPods in 2019. True or false?
2019?
Yeah.
It feels quite late, but I mean, the last one was probably going to be a shuffle, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm going to go for true. Why not?
Well, then I've got to go for false.
It is false, I'm afraid, Martin.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So, was it 2017 or something?
Well, it's kind of a trick. They are still making iPods, would you believe?
Seriously?
People still want iPods, apparently. Wow. I'm guessing it's still the shuffle ones.
But why? Enough shuffle people are still buying them to make money out of that.
Who are these people buying iPods?
Yeah, iPod. Who needs MP3 players anymore? You've got your phones.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
How strange.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
iPod, yeah.
I mean, good for them. Like, if they want that, that's fine. I suppose they're probably quite useful for going jogging or something.
Oh, they still make the iPod Touch, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
There we go.
There you go. So that is... What's that? 6-2?
6-2. No!
Oh, Martin.
I've lost.
I'm sorry.
Well, I can...
Let's push on and see where we get to. Question number 9.
Question 9.
In the alphabet, 6 consecutive capital letters all have vertical mirror symmetry. Can you name those letters? So they're...
What?
Do you understand what I mean? So they're like...
So like H.
You put a mirror in the middle of them and they look the same on either side. And they're 6...
Vertically.
Yeah.
Vertically, so...
Well, so if you put the mirror vertically... Like on top of them, they would look the same.
Yeah,
either side.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So there are 6 consecutive capital letters in the alphabet that do this. Can you name those letters?
Six consecutive ones.
Yep.
Oh right. Okay.
What? Six consecutive letters.
Yep. So in a row, I need the six in a row that are all vertically mirror symmetry. Does this question make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think, I mean, Martin, do you want to go?
I'm just thinking of if you put the mirror vertically, six in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show yourselves.
Yeah, go for it. I'm just trying to think.
I'm pretty sure it's Y.
Oh, so the end. It's the end, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for, yeah. I thought you might, yeah. Yeah. I mean, go ahead. You do it.
No, go for it.
You buzzed, Robin. You buzzed.
Okay.
Finish him.
No.
It's from like V onwards, isn't it?
So it's going to be Y, U, V. X, W, V, U, T.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had it the other way around. But
I know. I did it backwards because I didn't.
That they come. Yeah.
My brain had figured out that Y must be the last one in this sequence. And then I had to work it out.
That's true. It's TUVWXY is the six. They're all, if you put a mirror right in the middle of the letters, they would look the same on either side.
You know, if you'd asked me that just on the spot, like how many letters are like that, I would have said one and gone for H. But there's actually a whole bunch of them, aren't there?
H and A and I, I guess, the kind of ones that stand out.
Oh yeah, I. Yes.
Yeah, but they just write the end of the alphabet. Yeah,
there's O is another obvious one, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, true.
M.
Yeah. It's pretty about half, isn't it?
It's got quite a lot of them, actually.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Question 10, final question. I love this one. What film was this the tagline to? 12 is the new 11.
Did anyone die here?
Oh, that was Martin, yeah.
Yes, Martin?
Ocean's 12?
It was Ocean's 12. A lot of thought went into that.
Yes.
Someone got paid a lot of money for coming up with that tagline.
Yeah.
Cool.
For sure.
Would you like the bonus question? And congratulations, Robin. Well done. Back in contention.
Good victory. Good victory.
It wasn't really deserved, but thank you. It would have been a lot closer than it seems.
No, it wouldn't have been. You smashed it.
No, it was well done. It was comprehensive.
Now, this is a thinker. There's some maths involved here.
Okay.
Give me the total sum of the number of stations on a Monopoly board times by the number of actors to have played James Bond in the official films.
Where are you?
Martin.
Lesbian
Avenue. 28. Oh, sorry, I missed that. What was that?
28?
It is not 28.
Is it not?
I was trying to think of how many James Bonds there were, but I knew that Robin would get in there quick, so I need to guess quickly.
You're so close. I think he deserves it because you're so close.
It was
24, right?
24.
Yeah. It was 24, yes, that is correct.
I was thinking, was it it was either going to be 6 or 7 or 8.
You're so close, yeah.
You had Brosnan. For it. Go for it.
Oh, you've got Connery. Lazenby, Brosnan, Daniel Craig, Timothy Dalton,
and then you got the big one,
eyebrows.
Oh yeah, Roger Moore.
There we go.
Yeah.
Those are the six.
Roger Moore.
Well, that was this week's quiz. I hope you enjoyed it, fellas.
That was great. Very good. Thank you. I always learn something with your quizzes, Alex. It's great. Yeah, and yours, Martin.
Exactly.
I realise that was kind of insulting. That wasn't meant to be insulting. I learned something every time both of you do a quiz.
Bayesians. There you go.
Yeah,
Bayesians.
I've definitely pronounced that wrong, so I'm very sorry. And thank you both for joining me this week. And thank you for bringing that story to today, Robin. That was really interesting.
Pleasure. Thank you for telling it so well.
Like we said at the start, we've got another piece over on our Patreon where we talk about Julian Assange, which is really interesting, and give an update on his story. So if you're interested in that, go and check it out. But if not, we hope you have a really lovely week, and stay safe. And thanks again for all of your support. And we'll see you next time.
Absolutely. See you next time.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.